This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Derek, a magnitude 5.0 earthquake has hit Alaska. We got flooding going on in Florida, earthquakes in Alaska. What in the world's going on? Sometimes I rip on where we live, but except for an occasional tornado,
yeah,
you got it pretty good around here.
I think so, yeah.
All right, it is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lon Tay. He's Derek Piper. Trevor Valise is here. Hans D. decided to show up like halfway through the show, but he did call Mikey Dudek for us, so he's done his one job. We're going to do Drive Time at the bottom of the hour. I actually broke down the Cardinals and Cubs baseball schedules. And each team, Derek, has 25 games remaining, including tonight. So I'll break down where each team is, how many games they have at home. That's important when it comes to the Cubs. And then how many series do you have against over 500 teams? So I will break that down at the bottom of this hour.
Great window for sports where you have meaningful baseball each and every night. And then, oh, by the way, football.
Amen. And thank you to the Cardinals and Cubs for making it meaningful.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, let's give a little shout out. I know Cubs fans are frustrated right now with the season. I feel like they've underperformed. And I think Cardinals fans are, they, you know, we always feel like, well, we deserve to be in the playoffs, right? I mean, that's kind of who we are, baseball heaven. So we'll see. But it's nice that the Cardinals, at least at this point, if you look at the wild card and you look at the standings, they'd really have to go wrong here to not make the playoffs. But, man, you still got 25 games and some really good teams to play before then. So we'll wait. We'll judge that as we go along. All right, we don't have a Mikey button, right? No, we don't have a Mikey button. Now, we're going to have to do that. We got to get Trevor working on that, an intro for Mikey Dudek. But it is time to visit with the former Illini wide receiver. You can always follow him on Twitter. It's at MDFlash_7. Mikey, how are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. I had a chance to meet you just briefly because, of course, everybody wants Mikey's autograph, and he actually ran out of pictures. Were you the only guy to run out of pictures?
I don't know, honestly. I know throughout the autograph signing, we went and talked on a radio show. So I think if I had to, you know, say something about that, I think most of the people came by as guys were talking on the show. So that's probably why I ran out, but there was probably some other guys that ran out.
Yeah, Mikey's way too nice. He was the most popular one. He was the most popular. Of course, Wes Lunt was there, Eddie McGee. It was cool. I like that Illinois does that because, you know, you guys, obviously you're gone, but you're never forgotten. And I think that's cool that you guys can come back. People get a chance to talk to you, get pictures, et cetera. All right, you were back on campus. How did that feel? 42-3 over Akron. What was your kind of thought after that one ended?
Yeah, that was a great, you know, great game for us. All in all, I thought all three phases did a good job. And obviously there's some places I think we can improve, which to me is good. When you get a dominant win like that and you're not, and you did everything right, but there are things that we can improve on, which I think will help us a lot. Hopefully we can, you know, fix those little issues as we move forward into this non-conference play and then have them all cleaned up for a clean Big Ten slate for us.
Mikey, what's the most valuable part of a win like that? Is it putting those things on film, what you did well, what you need to work on? Is it the confidence that comes from that? What do you think is, in a blowout win, obviously you feel comfortable about that, but what do you take the most value out of?
I think, yeah, when you said confidence, I think that is the biggest thing. You know, in this game, it's all mental. I mean, obviously there's a little bit of physical that goes into it, but ultimately the more confident, smarter team is going to go out there and win the game. And, when you come off a win like this, especially jumping into to week two, you know, guys are excited to practice. You know, they're excited to be in meetings because, you know, all that work they put in the offseason really paid off for them in week one. And on the flip side of that, if it's a dogfight, you know, last year like we had in that week one game where we were supposed to win,
right,
you know, everyone's – you want to fix the mistakes, but at the same point, there is that little thought in the back of your mind, like, are we as good as we think we are? And, you know, having that blowout win week one really eliminates all those negative thoughts, and it's just, you know, positive juice moving forward.
Man, I'm glad he said that. And I'm jumping on Piper here. Derek gets mad at me sometimes, Mike. He punches me after shows once in a while. But I'm a big dude, though. Well, he's bigger, though. He's taller, especially. But I'm glad you said that because a lot of the talk in the tailgate lots after the game, you know, somebody was like, okay, it's Akron. Yeah, okay, it is Akron. However, it was Kent State last year. It was Ball State the year before. And you kind of slid by those teams, and especially against Ball State needing a field goal block. So, what is the feeling in the locker room with the game? Let's be honest. You guys know it's Akron, right? It's not Wisconsin coming to town. But you won big, and to me as a fan and somebody that's watched football most of my life, I take that as a, you know what, that's a step to prove to me that this team is better.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, we talk a lot about the rebuilding process, and, you know, it's time. It's time to put that product on the field. And, you know, playing a team like Akron, you know, no disrespect to them, but on paper, we should blow them out. And, you know, like you said, the past 2 years playing the Ball State, Kent State, the teams we should have blown out that we didn't. It's nice to see that we're actually, you know, using our talents, mentally winning games. And, yeah, I mean, the guys are extremely fired up, and it's definitely a good step in the right direction for our program.
Mike, I really want to focus in on the offensive side of the ball, particularly the receiving core, your area of expertise. I got to say, watching that trio of Ricky Smalling, Josh Emmitt-Torbebe, Trayvon Sidney, looks like legit Big Ten top three. Mm-hmm. What were you able to take away from what you saw from those guys?
Yeah, my biggest thing that I really wanted to see was no drop balls, and especially out of the starters. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't think we had any. The guys made the right plays, and they weren't easy catches. You know, some of the balls Ricky caught, in particular, I remember he ran an in route, coming towards the north end zone where he caught a ball in stride. And that's a tough catch with a guy, you know, right on your back. So that just shows me Ricky's ready to take the next step. And that was my first time seeing, Josh Bebe and, Trayvon Sidney. And, you know, I thought they definitely looked good. You can tell they were coached up well at the last school they were at, and then, you know, with Coach Stoker these last 4 weeks of camp. So, yeah, I mean, last year we definitely lacked the passing game. We all saw how good our running game was, so it can be pretty dangerous if you can combine the both of them.
Ricky Smalling seemed to be playing with a different confidence, different kind of edge. There was something different about him. I know that I liked the rapport that I saw between Brandon Peters and Ricky Smalling, 10 targets for him, had a great comeback route deep on the sideline, also one where Brandon gets hit and he catches that one, comes back to the ball. Did you notice anything like that, anything different out of Ricky as now an upperclassman?
Yeah, I did. And I think that goes back to, I know just talking to the guys, I know Ricky's taken a more leadership role, within that room. And that's extremely important. Last year, or I guess his first 2 years, you know, there's been so much hype around him, and he's underperformed to that hype. And he'd tell you the same. And we all know the type of player he is and can be. So just seeing him out there, he looks like, you know, a different player, like you guys said, than we've seen the past 2 years. So, obviously there's some little things that Ricky and Brandon need to fix in terms of timing and ball placement. But, for week one, I was really happy and really satisfied with how those two look.
Mikey Dudick, our guest, former Illini, of course, follow him on Twitter at MDFlash_7. We always have to talk about the quarterback, right? I mean, and listen, in this one, why not? Brandon Peters looked great. 4 touchdowns, ran for one. And, you know, I felt like he spread it around, obviously, like 8, I think, receivers or 8 people, that is, 8 players touched the football thanks to him. What did you think of Brandon? And, I mean, again, it's Akron, but the poise he showed and really the knowledge coming in and picking up some knowledge already on Rod Smith's offense, what did you think of the slinger?
Yeah, I mean, in any offense, it's important for the quarterback to know how to run the offense, what's expected of the offensive coordinator, not just, you know, be a good passer. And, you know, in Coach Rod Smith's offense, it's important to have a little bit of mobility, being a quarterback, just with the style of offense that we have. And I think, you know, Brandon did a great job. That was my first time watching him. Mm-hmm. I didn't really see him much in camp, so that was my first time watching him with those receivers. And, you know, I thought he looked really calm. And, you know, when he made a bad throw, he didn't sit on it. You know, the next play, he made an amazing throw. And that's what you need out of your quarterback. So I think, you know, obviously they knew he was the man for the job. And, you know, I'm excited for this team now that, you know, we have an established quarterback that can really lead us.
Was it good to see the way he went through his progressions? Because I think last year, and no knock on A.J. Bush, who provided a lot of value, ran for 1,300 yards. Maybe he went to one read, and then if that wasn't there, his next instinct was to take off with his legs. Is that something that maybe is going to transform this offense, where, as you mentioned, Brandon has the poise and the experience in the Big Ten to maybe look at number one and then move to number two and number three?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's, I would say, 80 to 85% of quarterbacks in college football do just, you know, look at their first read, and if not, they just take off running. And no knock on that, it works out for most of them. But the ones that can really go through their progression, stay calm in the pocket even when it's collapsing, that's when special things can happen. So I definitely think we saw a lot of that out of Brandon. And I know he there's some throws he probably wants back, but like I said earlier in the show, that's a good thing when you have a blowout win and there are some things you can correct. So I think he added a huge value to our team and our offense.
Great stuff, as always, with Mikey Dudick. Jake Hansen, we ought to do a slogan, like, he lives for game one. What a game for Jake, but I don't want to touch on Jake. I think he's going to be fine. Not Milo Eifler either. I know he was unbelievable. I would not want to take that hit that he did. I want to talk on Dale Harding. And you've watched this young man, Mikey, for a few years, kind of work his way up. Last year, special teams captain. This year, he's kind of right in the middle of that. You know, Eifler had the big hit. Jake had the two turnovers. But, oh, by the way, Dele did pretty well in the middle there. What do you expect out of that guy? And then maybe go a little bit macro with this linebacker crew.
Yeah, Dele, man, that dude is a hard worker. He's one of the hardest, most dedicated guys, teammates I've ever had or been around. So I knew it would all pay off for him. And, you know, he's just kept quiet, put his head down, and been working. And now he's finally getting his shot. Moving into that full-time starting role. And, you know, he is the leader of the defense. He's voted captain, which he definitely deserved. And he does all the right things, all the right plays. It might not, you know, show up in the highlights. But, you know, he makes a lot of the plays, a lot of the tough, hard-nosed plays
right.
That oftentimes go unnoticed to the average fan. But the coaches and the teammates, they all recognize his value and his work to the team. And then just the linebacking core. Yeah, I mean, Jake Hansen, that dude, he's a baller. I think you guys saw him out there and some of the plays that he made. And, you know, off the field, he's a really quiet, really just kind of stay to himself guy. But on the field, you know, it's like he turns into something else and just angry and just wants the ball and wants to make a play. So I was happy with him. He, again, works hard too. And then Milo, you know, he's a transfer, and he had to sit out last year, and big-time recruit coming out of high school, didn't play much at Washington. So he's got a lot to prove himself. So I was extremely happy for him when he made both of those big hits, and it kind of made me happy I wasn't. I'm not playing receiver anymore, so I don't have to take any of those hits.
Mikey, hey, man. Mikey, I hate to ask you about yet another season-ending knee injury. Hopefully this is the last one of the season with Mike Epstein. And we kind of went through it with you, with Marquez Beeson, on maybe what's ahead for him. But I want to ask you about the emotional side, and particularly for the team. Is there a sense where a lot of fans get caught in, why does this happen to us? And how do you stray away from that? And does that go on at all in the locker room, where it just seems like, oh, another one? How does this happen? Why does this happen?
Yeah, no, I mean, as crazy as it seems, when you do go through a bad injury like that, the team, you know, instead of just pouting and doing all the normal stuff or the stuff you'd expect, it kind of rallies everyone together. You know, it brings everybody together. And I know I follow Mike on all the social medias, and just seeing all the support he has, especially coming from that building and the fans outside, it only brings the team closer. Obviously, you don't want it to happen. When it happened, I was heartbroken, like it happened to me. You know, Mike's like a little brother to me, and I know the type of person he is, and I know he's going to attack the rehab and, you know, come out next year with a vengeance and do really well for us down the road. But Yeah, it's tough. You know, it's hard for me to even talk about it when it happens to somebody that's so close to me. But, you know, God's got him and the team's with him. So, I mean, I know the guys are all there.
Mikey, clearly this team will rally around Tim and go on the road this week to UConn,
yeah,
where they're a 20-point favorite.
What's the protocol
like for a road game? How different is it from a home preparation, and what kind of goes into getting ready for a road trip like that?
Yeah, and road trips are fun. Your first freshman year, probably. Then after that, you're like, all right, let's just play at home. but it's a cool experience. The guys, they all travel to the airport Friday morning and, you know, fly out to Connecticut and then all the game preparation basically happens in the hotel. You have walkthroughs, meetings and all that. And then you don't see the field, touch the playing grass or any of that till game day, which I did not like. I always like to get a feel for what type of surface we're going to be playing on. So it's different, you know, more distractions being on the road, hotel, different environment, away fans. But I would say definitely the biggest thing is probably those young guys that haven't done it before.
Interesting you say that you wanted to get a feel for like the kind of what you're playing on, the field, et cetera. Does a player have any kind of say in that? I know ultimately this is Lovie Smith saying, look, we're not going to do that. But sometimes you get there on a Friday, you guys could go down and walk around for a little bit instead of just going through some big ballroom in a hotel that you know exactly what that surface is like. Do the players have any kind of say on that, or is that just pretty much this is what Coach wants to do and that's what we're doing?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Smith, he's a player-driven team. You know, he wants the leaders to step up, and that's something I wish I would have done. But oftentimes, you know, we'd stay like 45 minutes away from the stadium,
an
hour away from the stadium, just so they could find a big enough hotel to fit all of us with the proper meeting rooms and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, I don't think he'd be opposed to it. Like I said, he's a player-driven team. So if someone wanted to do that, wanted to speak up, I don't see why he wouldn't do it.
Mikey Dudek, great stuff as always. He's going to be joining us this season, and hopefully he's the good luck charm here. 1-0, so we'll take that. 42-3 over Akron. Big, heavy favorites going into UConn, so can't wait to kind of see that game on Saturday, see how Illinois does, and then we will visit with you next Tuesday, hopefully after another win, my man.
All right, awesome. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, buddy. Mikey Dudek, former Illini wide receiver. Of course, follow him on Twitter at MDFlash_7. I love hearing what it's funny that, you know, I guarantee you he's critical of the wide receivers, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I think the fact that he liked what he saw is a good thing, because I think Mikey would be like, well, you know, I need to see more of this. I need to see more of this. The one thing I'm mad at myself is early on he said we need to improve. There were a couple spots we needed to improve. I didn't ask him that.
He did mention the timing between Peters and Small. I think a lot of those end zone throws that maybe sailed, that might be something that he was touching on.
So that could be something that maybe next week we'll kind of get an idea on that. This team will on the road, and like you asked a good question there, I mean, well, how different is that to go on the road? But, man, like he said, the confidence, even if you beat Akron, you beat them that like you did, gives that team confidence, and now you're going to ride that, Derek, onto the road, and that's got to help these guys.
Yeah, and he's even admitted in last week's, you know, first interview that they listen to what we say. Yep. Players listen to what we say. They read all the articles and everything, and I think that you come out of camp and you can have a good feeling as a team, but you really don't know until you put the pads on that first time. And let's be honest, if you beat a Ball State by 3 and you beat a Kent State by 7, these guys are human beings. They listen to what goes on.
Yep.
They're thinking, are we that good?
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's going on in that locker room. With Akron, all it is, the only disclaimer is it's Akron. We did everything we were supposed to do. We played a clean game. You got to go out and do it again.
Yep.
But this is another, you know, we're 20-point favorites.
Yep.
We're supposed to go out on this road trip and get another W. Let's do it.
I mean, we all, as athletes, I'm not comparing myself to these guys, believe me, but, you know, I played athletics in high school. You kind of knew going into a season, especially like your junior and senior season, you kind of knew the teams that you should have taken care of. Mm-hmm. And you knew that there were teams that you probably beat like on the basketball court by double digits. And if all of a sudden you get out of there and you won by 4, you know, your coach and you are sitting in that locker room going, hey, we got the win and that's great, but, you know, there's always that but. And then there's other times where you play a team that is equal to you, you feel like, and then you go out, blow them out by 17. Heck yes, you feel good about that. You can't wait to get back to practice. So I think these guys, like you said, they're human. They know they should beat Akron. Like Mikey said, they should blow them out, and they did that. And I would feel like these guys, at least in their mind, are saying, hey, we're better than everybody's given us credit for, and we just went out in week one and kind of showed you that. So now they're probably chomping at the bit to get over to UConn and say, now we're going to show you how good we are on the road. And then we're going to come back home being 2-0, and we're just going to keep proving this to everybody. So I can't imagine why anything positive is ever bad for you, right? And that's what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, why wouldn't you want to be in that position? And of course, as he mentioned, there are going to be some little things that are going to be addressed on film this week, and I'm sure they may, you know, add some new wrinkles to the offense because, you know, UConn's going to be watching the film and try to do what they can to stop them. I don't know how successful they'll be because UConn's pretty terrible.
Right.
But it's just that was a good feeling on Saturday, right?
No doubt.
Blowing them out and let's go feel it again.
Let's do it again. All right. When I come back. What I meant is when we come back, I did some research on the Cardinals and Cubs schedule. I want to go through that with you and Trevor, Trevor being the lone Cubs fan now. What is
Well, Hans is wearing a Cubs shirt.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know if he's a Cubs fan. Oh, yeah, I guess he is.
I don't know. He probably has like a Mariner shirt.
I did compliment him for a Marlins hat he wore one time.
That's what I'm thinking. Not Mariners. I'm thinking Marlins. Yeah. Yes, Hans.
Yeah, get it straight, Lon.
That's my fault.
I am kind of a Mariners fan, though.
Oh.
Yeah, you know.
Because of Ichiro?
No, because I like Seattle.
Or Felix Hernandez. Now, he throws tonight, right?
He does.
And isn't Felix Hernandez is a rookie. Wasn't there another Felix Hernandez that was really good for the Mariners forever?
Isn't it the same one that's pitching tonight?
But they had him as a rookie.
Oh.
Trevor, can you help us out with this? I'm all confused.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's the veteran Felix Hernandez.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw somebody put that he was a rookie.
No.
He's a right-handed pitcher. There's where the R came from.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is.
There are two Felix Hernandezes on the Mariners.
There are, right?
No, there aren't.
Oh, there aren't. Okay, just never
Also,
mind.
Frazier, set in Seattle. So I can see why Hans.
That makes all the sense in the world. Makes all the sense in the world. Okay. Well, listen, I'll get my act together. We'll talk. I mean, I thought Howard. I thought Howard was at Ivy League school earlier today. So, I mean, this.
It fit in.
I am sober.
The names of.
I am sober, people. I promise to you, I am sober. And it's just one of those days. It's just been like. It's been a run for me. It's interesting to say. All right, so we'll talk baseball next. Cardinals and Cubs will kind of break down their schedule before this season gets it's rolling though, man. 25 games
Home
left.
Stretch.
Every game is so important. Big time. There we go. Hey, did you know 2/3 of retirees wish they had done things differently during retirement planning? Busey Wealth Management. They've got some tips for all of you that are getting close to retiring. Get educated. Retirees wish they educated themselves on savings options. Talk to an advisor with Busey Wealth Management today. And then make a plan and start budgeting now to achieve your savings goals. Even if you sit there and think, oh, no, I waited too long. Anything helps. So contribute today, even the smallest amount. Will help. And of course, take advantage of your employer's contribution, matching benefits. Everybody should do that. Turn your dreams into the reality. Now, if you need a guide to your golden years, you can visit the Resource Center on Busey.com today. Not a bad idea. The experienced professionals at Busey Wealth Management are ready to create your personalized plan or check in on your current retirement goals. Call 1-800-67-BUSEY or visit Busey.com today. Busey, member FDIC.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Life packs plenty of surprises. You never know what waits around the next corner, but you can prepare for it. Ask your local Pekin insurance agent about affordable term or whole life insurance policy. You'll worry less, enjoy your time more, and have a plan for the unexpected. Request a free life insurance quote at PekinInsurance.com and start protecting your future today. Our local agents will provide you with beyond the expected advice and service.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
Curtis Orchard in Champaign, Illinois is your central Illinois home for the juiciest and tastiest apples. The apples can be purchased in their quaint little country store, or you can book a spot to pick your own apples in the You Pick Orchard. Curtis Orchard is a family business and has been a working family farm since 1873. Come taste the tradition and family-friendly atmosphere at Curtis Orchard.
So when I tasted the honey from Curtis Orchard, I knew right away this is really, really good stuff.
They're in Southwest Champaign on Duncan Road.
Visit CurtisOrchard.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
We're talking with Chef Thad Morrow about the food you'll experience at the new Naya restaurant in Campus Town.
I really like food to be, you know, casual, approachable, but that doesn't necessarily mean not delicious. You know, I want the food to be simple, but you can come in, have a, you know, a nice plate of pasta, grab a glass of wine, and relax. I mean, it's not fine dining, it's casual dining.
Asian-inspired Italian cuisine is waiting for you at the new Naya restaurant. See the menu, get hours, and learn more at NayaRestaurant.com.
Hi, I'm Stacey LeFevre with Girl Scouts of Central Illinois. Please join us on Thursday, September 12th at City View Banquet and Meeting Center in Champaign for our signature event of Diamonds, Desserts, and Distinction to honor this year's Woman of Distinction. Congratulations to Visit Champaign County President and CEO, Jane DeLuce. Jane serves as a role model to Girl Scouts within the greater Champaign area through all the extraordinary she does for our community. From working on her badges as a Girl Scout herself to working on the 1996 Atlanta Olympics to working on connecting Champaign County to the world, she is anything but ordinary. Doors open at 6 p.m. on September 12th and will feature a cocktail hour, heavy hors d'oeuvres, a raffle of $1,000, $500, and $8 $50 gift cards from our friends at Flora Gems, a Girl Scout cookie-inspired desserts competition among area chefs, and recognition of our honoree, Jane DeLuce. Tickets for the event are $75. All proceeds help fund leadership development programs for Girl Scouts. For more information and to purchase your ticket, go to getyourgirlpower.org. That's getyourgirlpower.org. See you on September 12th for Diamonds, Desserts, and Distinction.
Hello, this is Shane Coulter from Country Arbors Nursery. 154 years. That's how long my family's been growing flowers and planting trees in Central Illinois. Over the years, we've grown hundreds of millions of plants, and there's a chance my great-grandfather sold plants to your great-grandfather. It's a special time of year, mum season, and Country Arbors is home of the legendary $6 mum, the biggest, best-priced mum in the state. We grow 20,000 mums, but you'd be surprised how fast we sell out. So come out for a shade tree, a shrub, or a perennial, but make sure to pick up a few mums when you're out. Country Arbors is in Urbana on Windsor Road, 2.5 miles past Meyer. You can find out more information and directions at countryarbors.com.
As a business, you want your logo everywhere on business trips or throughout the office. Minuteman Press allows that to happen. You have your laptop bag embroidered with your company's logo, a sticker on that laptop, your phone case has that logo. Need to charge your phone? There's the logo on that. Even your welcome mat. The pens that you have prospective clients sign the contract with have your logo on it. Don't let potential clients forget who you are. Go to Minuteman Press, and they will place your logo on anything you can think of. Head to their website, cuprinting.com, for more information.
Dig this. Do you plan on tailgating this football season?
Of course. That's a ridiculous question.
And you love grilling every chance you get?
You know it.
So you probably buy a lot of meat, right?
Oh, yeah. When I grill, it's a real production.
What if I told you there was a place in town where you could get farm-fresh, top-quality meat, steaks, bratwurst, sausage, and more?
I would say you better give me the address right now.
The address is 1503 South Maryland, just off Florida and Urbana. Get locally sourced meat for your next tailgate at the U of I Meat Sales Room. Open Tuesday and Thursday, 1 to 5:30, Friday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m.
It's the Jeremy Warner Show, weekday mornings from 9 to 11, right here on ESPN 93.5.
Well, thanks, Dirk. Thanks for ruining the night.
My bad.
The night was going along just fine, and then I mentioned that I've got to go back to the office, and that already was ruining it. And then you come up with something about, hey, should I mention this? And Trevor and I are like, what? So my son could be happy.
I'm sure
about
played
this.
A big role in this.
Probably, because he didn't make Adam Miller mad while he was in Tempe. What's your news?
So a crystal ball pick has been submitted by Andrew Slater from The Athletic, pretty reliable source. Not saying this is done or anything, but something to pay attention to. He's put in a crystal ball pick for Adam Miller to Arizona State.
This one would really frustrate me.
Oh, heck yeah.
Not just for the normal. Not just the normal, we lost a kid. This would frustrate me for what we talked about a couple of weeks ago and the fact that you have Io here. Io is exactly, he played on the same stinking high school team as Adam Miller.
Yep.
You see what is happening to Io. Now, granted, Illinois still hasn't won yet at a high level with Io, but that should happen this year. And when I say high level, I mean, you know, getting back to the tournament. And I think that's really, I mean, yeah, you want to win national titles, but I'll shut up after this. And also the fact that Io is going to be a first-round draft pick. Unless something goes terribly wrong, which I can't imagine. So it's almost one of those where you've rolled out the red carpet for an athlete like Io who came and everything went according to plan. And then now the next guy who has a chance to just take right over for him and do the same exact thing is not going to like that. But then again, I've been to Tempe and I enjoyed every second of it and enjoy every second of it and can't wait to get back out there.
Yeah. Some players just like to do something different if they're from the area.
And
at the
I
same
shouldn't
time.
Be mad at that. So.
Yeah, and I'm not saying his decision's been made.
He's got an official
set to Illinois, which now I'm hearing it sounds like it's going to take place during Hall of Fame weekend.
Oh, good.
The Nebraska game. Hopefully 3-0 versus 3-0. Mm. Football stadium that's quite a bit more full than it was this past Saturday. But
be all right with
that right now would be Adam's last scheduled official visit. He went to Arizona, then he went to Arizona State, and then Illinois. As you mentioned, the table is just set for him to come in and have Io's role, and play with Trent Frazier, and I think Io has shown people that you can be a top 50 player and stay home and have everything you need to showcase your game for the NBA. So that would be a big loss. Again, it's just one crystal ball pick.
Right,
you can change those.
Yep,
but it's something to pay attention to.
And you're playing with a big guy like Kofi and Georgie. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't want to do that. Okay, all right, we're gonna talk baseball real quick. So thank you for that. Derek, Cardinals, Cubs. Here's what I did. Broke it down today. You ready, Trevor? 25 games each. They each
ready
have
as they'll ever be.
25 games left. The Cardinals of the 25 have 12 at home, 13 on the road. The Cubbies have 11 at home, 14 on the road. So that's not a great thing because of what we've seen out of the Cubs, but they just went to New York and won three straight against
them.
They've
won six in a row on the road.
Have they really?
Well, they've swept the Pirates and swept the Mets.
Oh, that's true. That's right. That's right.
Cubs are now a road team.
So.
Or, I'm sorry, five of their last six.
Five.
They lost
six,
the first game to Pittsburgh.
So
maybe they are now a road team.
Well, maybe. So 11 at home, 14 away for the Cubbies, 12 at home, 13 away for the Cardinals. The Cardinals, including the Cubs, so when I say this about the Cardinals and the Cubs, I'm including the other, and you'll understand. The Cardinals have 5 out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 series left. 5 are against teams over 500. Those include Milwaukee at home, Washington at home. I've got more news on that. At the Cubs, at Arizona, and the Cubs at home. The Cubs, with the same number of series left, including just tonight's one game against Seattle, the Cubs will only play 3 series against teams that are over 500. 2 of those, by the way, are the Cardinals. The only other team they play that is above 500 would be Milwaukee.
This weekend.
Who sits at 70 and 67, and by then may not be above 500. So certainly the schedule with regards to home and away favors the Cardinals a little bit. But then the schedule, but then after this Giants run here and Milwaukee, at the Cubs go to Milwaukee, then you're basically even on that regard. Certainly the teams you play favors the Cubs a little bit on that. One other thing. Cardinals, of course, 17 games above 500 at 77 and 60. Cubbies, 11 games above 500, 74 and 63. As for that National Series, now I had to project out on this. There is a day off for the Nationals, so that could maybe throw, that could, they could give everybody, in other words, they could shift it to where everybody gets an extra day, right, down the stretch, and that is certainly something they may do. Or they could say, guess what, Max Scherzer, you and Steven Strasburg are staying on every fifth-day rotation. If Strasburg and Scherzer stay on every fifth-day rotation, the Cardinals, when they welcome the Nationals to town, will face Strasburg to open the series, Anibal Sanchez, Anibal Sanchez in between, and then Max Scherzer to end the series. So the Cubbies just hosted the Nationals and got swept, but did not have to face Scherzer in that. The Cardinals, as it stands now, if they stick with their same five-man rotation every fifth day, they'll face Strasburg and Scherzer both
series.
That's not good.
When is the National Series?
That National Series is, it's five series from now. I'm sorry, okay, I don't have the date.
No, that's fine. I'm just, if the Nationals have wrapped up a wild
trip,
maybe they wouldn't.
It's early,
throw
though.
Them,
it's,
I don't know.
Mid-September, like 16th, 17th, 18th.
I don't think it's before the trip to Wrigley?
Yes. Right before.
Oh man, that's
that stretch.
A tough week.
That stretch. You got three in Colorado, three at home against Milwaukee, three at home against Washington, four at Chicago, three at Arizona. Finally, a day off for the Cardinals. So that isn't good. So quickly, I'll read what each team plays the rest of the way, real quick. And I know this is something everybody could do, but I thought I'd break it down.
Oh, this is a good break.
A lot of people like me don't sit there and study this. Cubbies have one against Seattle, then they go to Milwaukee for four and to San Diego for four. Then they've got Pittsburgh at home, Cincinnati at home, both of those three-game series, four at home against the Cardinals. So they play 10 straight at home. Then they're at Pittsburgh for three and at St. Louis for three to end the season. So they've got 10 at home, which is nice, but then they're on the road for six to end it. The Cardinals have San Francisco at home for three more, at Pittsburgh for three, at Colorado for three, Milwaukee at home, Washington at home for three each, so that's six. Then they're at the Cubbies for four, at Arizona for three, and then the Cubbies at home for three. So the bad news for the Cardinals is the schedule ratchets up, plus they got to go to Wrigley for four, at Arizona for three. So, I mean, this could, you know, in the grand scheme of things, this means nothing. However,
staying hot this week is important for the Cardinals.
I would agree with you. And that's kind of what I took away from this. I don't think the Cubs are going to lose to Seattle, even though they're facing Felix Hernandez tonight. So, hey, there's a chance. I think the Cardinals need to make hay against San Francisco the rest of this. You got Flaherty tonight.
Yep.
Then you got a kind of a throw-in game tomorrow. Who knows? You got Waka against Madison Bumgarner. That'd probably be the game you'd lose in this series. But I think the Cardinals need to get two or three here. Then they have to hope that they dominate Pittsburgh on the road and that the Cubbies have trouble at Milwaukee. I would rather that lead be about five games before the rest, like the last four or five series.
That would be ideal. Anything over 3.5 is maybe in the realistic range. Five would be fantastic, but you need something.
Yeah.
Because that's a brutal last stretch.
I agree.
Just get me to 2.5 back for that Cubs-Cardinals series.
Yeah.
I need.
Real quick, what's the – well, we don't have time. No, we do have
time. Thanks,
Lon. What's the wild card, real quick? What's the standings there?
Well, right now the Nationals are up in the wild card, meaning they've securely got a spot. They're at plus 3.5 games, and the Cubs, the second wild card team.
Okay,
right. Behind them is the Phillies, two games back, the Diamondbacks, three games back, the Brewers, four games back.
Okay, all right, so that's how it stands. Oh, here we go. It's going to be fun. This is going to be fun.
Maybe.
Cardinals baseball is next.
I don't know.
Who do we think? Mikey Dudek. He's awesome as usual. See everybody tomorrow. It's The Drive with Tay and Piper.
This episode of The Drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.